Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody, and mahalo. Wow, this has been such an incredible day for me. I'm just kind of overwhelmed, honestly, because, you know, it was my birthday today, and the phone been ringing off the wall, and I want to thank everybody for the incredible remarks and the phone calls, the emails, and, you know, it's overwhelming. I still see myself as a kid looking over the ocean and seeing America, and now I get to run the Sport Karate Museum and dedicate it to all the pioneers. But before I go on, I got to introduce the producer that's been putting up with me for 7 years. And I say putting up with me, but he cares for the museum. And he really cares for all of you guys. He's put together, I'll let him tell you. His producer is Haunchy Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I just want to congratulate you on your success because my phone has been ringing off the wall from a lot of people that were there, and they were overwhelmed. I'm not talking about they had a good time. They were overwhelmed with your hospitality and the vision that you have. So tell people a little about what you do and your podcast. And I'm excited for you because it was a big success. Tell people what you did in Las Vegas this week, sir, a little bit. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. Like I said, it was very unique. You know, of course, you know, we go to events, but, you know, this event was something that was, it was unique. It was spiritual. You know, Ernie Reyes, he has stage 4 cancer. You know, we chose to have a tribute to him, and it was really something. I mean, the whole event. Not only did we do that, my publicist and I, you know, we put together the Tech Center Stage Expo, really trying to reach out to authors and really promote people telling them their stories and giving them a system in which to tell their stories by. So, you know, it was really great. You know, congratulations. You were one of our awardees, and you should be receiving your award coming up in this next week.
Thank you.
And it was really great. It was, you know, we're giving people a voice. We're giving them a voice to the book, to tell their story. You know, Dr. John Williams, we published his book, Bam Johnson. You know, Bam really cleaned up. You know, his movie won an award. His book won an award. You know, he's just got a lot of amazing things that he's doing. And, you know, we're really fortunate to work with him. And, you know, right now, you know, we're planning to launch the first kids biography, Kids Who's Who book. And that's going to be coming out here in January. So, you know, we got a lot of positive projects. But Vegas was great because, you know, we did Ernie Reyes, and we also did Ron Van Cleef. So the book is The Martial Artist Changing Lives. And that became a powerful statement. And then we had The Martial Artist Extraordinaire, which talks about people with 50 or more years where they're telling their story. You know, telling their story. We have the two magazines out. One of them is the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers, and the second edition that's coming out this week, which we have. You know, it's going to be Moses Powell is on the front cover of that magazine, and then we have our Martial Arts Extraordinaire magazine.
Did you ever see him do his one thumb finger roll? Moses?
I've done a lot of, you know, on YouTube and, you know, to find out a lot about him. But, you know, we're really excited about, you know, bringing him back to life, you know, telling his story.
Yeah, I saw it. It was amazing. He was an amazing man. And, you know, it was just part of my journey. Now, talk a little bit about our History General book that's coming out in October.
Oh, yeah, that is my total focus right now. And, you know, we're going to bring some new faces in, and faces that have that we may not know, but faces that in the sport karate world, you know, from folks out of Chicago, that area, you know, from across the country, that, you know, we've met through our books, that we, you know, we've gone through their bios, you know, we know what they've done in sport karate, and be introducing some new faces. So that's what I'm working
on.
Well,
you know,
let me tell you something, sir.
Let me tell you something. One of the things that the pioneers told me many years ago, you know, 20 years ago, longer than that maybe, they said, Gary, there's going to be a lot of people that you've never, never, never met and never heard of, but they're going to be a part of this journey. And that's exactly what we're talking about, Hachi Bowen, is that there's so many people out there that have done so much. But, you know, I'm just one person. You're just one person. But the avenue that you've created and the museum has created, we've opened the doors to let some of that history come in that people would, or they should know about, correct? Like you said, people from Chicago. And, I mean, have you ever met Jimmy Jones? He's from Chicago.
Yes.
He's an amazing man. And, you know, his history is amazing with the USKA and what he did with Trias and what he did in Chicago. So it's really cool. So thank you for everything you do, and thank you for what you've done and your vision, and let the Sport Karate Museum be a part of it. And I wish you success in everything that you do. Thank you, Hachi Bowen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. And again, you know, happy birthday, and, you know, savor the day. And remember, this is that time that two times of the year, I like to sit down and reflect. Number one is the beginning part of the year, and number two is my birthday. Sit down and reflect and, you know, check out the past and look into the future.
Well, you and I have got a lot of work in these next 2 months, I know. And
yes,
October
we do, sir.
1st,
yes, we do.
The Power of Women, we're going to celebrate. Well, Friday night is pretty much your night. So, anyway, thank you for everything you do, and thank you for letting me be on the radio show for 7 years. And
what I'd like for everyone to do, I'd like for everyone that's on the show tonight, please share the link of the show. We need 17 clicks to make it over 13,000 plays on the show. So right now we need 17 to move over 13,000. So everyone, remember, share it. Let's get those 17. And, you know, hey, we're over 13,000 listeners. So that's powerful.
That's cool. Well, again, thank you, and God bless you. Have a good evening, sir.
Hey, everybody.
That was Hachi Jesse Bowen, my producer. And let me introduce two of my cohorts, two guys that has put up with me for a few years. And the first one is the Wolverine, Dean Piles. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Dean. Hey, yes. Buddy. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. It looked like Mr. Bowen and them had a great time out in Las Vegas. I hated I couldn't go, but looked like you had a great, great event.
Well, let me just make it publicly. There's a great stuntman who had one of the original stunt schools in Hollywood with Tadashi Yamashita. His name is Kim Kahana Sr. He's out of Florida. He still runs a stunt school, but this year we're giving the Kim Kahana Sr. Stuntman's Award to none other than Dean Piles. So, Dean, congratulations, buddy. And we're doing that because of the college.
Oh, man, thank you.
Well,
thank
Kim
you.
Kahana, Kim Kahana
thank you, sir.
is a tough guy. You know, he
let me tell you,
Chuck,
I'm training some tough guys
forward
right now as we speak. We're training some EOD guys. Those guys dismantle bombs.
Yeah.
That'd
be
pretty bad.
Congratulations.
But yeah, that's a great. I'm truly excited. Thank you, sir.
Well, I wanted to tell you, and I got to introduce my other cohort, my Yankee cracker friend, A.J. Perry. Are you there, A.J.?
Happy birthday. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, A.J. I'm doing good, buddy. But, you know, you and Dean are my co-hosts, and I really love you guys. But you guys are going to understand, I could have chose anybody to be on my show tonight. But this guy, I've known him for almost 50 years, and you guys probably know his reputation. But I know him to be one of the interesting karate fighters that we've ever had in America. He's not only a spiritual individual, he is a dangerous individual. I mean, he introduced full contact along with some of the other greats, and his forms are incredible. But I'm going to let him tell about himself a little bit. And, you know, he always fusses at me about me saying his first name wrong, but to me, he's just champion. I'm talking about Mr. Tyree Cassell. Hey, Mr. Cassell, are you, sir? How are you?
I'm giving thanks for the blessing, sir. I would like to, well, as always, I have to start off by saying, in the name of God, the beneficent, the merciful, give and sustain of all life, and from whom all blessings flow, and to whom all praise is due. We are gathering here across different time zones, and I'm sure that there are people who will be able to hear this broadcast throughout the world via the, as they say, the interweb. That's a joke. And,
yes, sir.
And I'm to share a bit of my history with you all, but I am also saying thank you, and I wish everyone well and peaceful and successful journeys wherever you go. So your blessings are going to come for you and your family, and just enjoy your thanks.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, this is a personal interview because you're not only a hero to me, a mentor, but you're my dear friend. And,
yes,
you know, let's talk a little bit about when you get started in the martial arts and who influenced you first? Who was your first in person that you got involved with, sir?
Well, you know, as I told the story, my introduction to the martial arts was a bit happenstance. My family had moved from one section of Chicago. And I always tell folks I'm from Chicago. And it's not just a geographical location. It's also an attitude. So if somebody
yeah,
ever
we're talking about Jimmy earlier, Jimmy Jones. I know he's your instructor, I believe, isn't he?
Well, you know, Grandmaster James A. Jones Jr. Was my first teacher, known mostly as Jimmy Jones. But
yes, sir.
It was a neighbor. I was 12 years old. This young teenager, he was about 18, and we moved into this other predominantly white neighborhood, and after we moved in, of course, the white flight, you know, started. And, you know, I'm going to speak the truth, so I'm just letting you know. But I came
Amen.
Next door because I saw this kid, this teenager, in his backyard, and he was chopping a brick. And I'm thinking, okay, that's weird. What the heck is going on with that? So I go next door, and he opens up the door. And I'm going, what are you doing? And so he says to me, I'm doing, you know, karate. And he handed me a book, Super Karate Made Easy. Now I'm looking at this book, and I'm going, you can't really learn nothing from a book like that. So you need it. So I talked to my father, And my father found the Southtown YMCA. And Grandmaster Jones was teaching. So I enrolled. But here I am, you know, a kid in this classroom with nothing but adults, 21, 25, 27 years old. And I always say that I was his experiment, because he was only used to teaching grown men and women, and here this little kid was, and so he decided, hey, I'm going to put you in and throw you in the mix. And there I am, you know, practicing, training, working with the men in the class. And this was during the blood and guts era of karate, where you really had to practice and know what you were doing. And they pushed me. I mean, there was no malicious abuse, but these men kicked and punched me hard, and I had to recognize what was going on. But it was a magnificent training ground, because it taught me no fear. So it doesn't matter how big, what size you are, what kind of muscles you have on. It's I understand the principle, and so I'm willing to stand and fight anybody. So that was the beginning of everything for me. Working with
I got some emails earlier that wanted me to ask you some direct questions. One was,
sure.
I know that you were a full contact fighter in the early years. How did you get involved with full contact? That was one of the questions that people wanted to know.
I thank you. I appreciate that. It was literally an offshoot. After competing, you know, nationally, you know, the local tournaments in Chicago were, again, rough. And then I competed. My first national tournament was in 1967 at the USKA Grand Nationals in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes,
and what was really cool about that was, after placing in that particular tournament, it was the first time that I saw my name in a magazine, in Black Belt magazine.
Right.
And there I am, at it, and at the basement of my parents' house, spelled my name wrong, of course, but there it was. At it, I'm looking at my name in print. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, someday they're going to do an article on me. And then I immediately went to, no, I'm going to be on the cover of these magazines. But, you know, how do you know that's going to happen? But just think of Muhammad Ali. At 12 years old, Ali said he was going to be heavyweight champion of the world. How does the 12-year-old think he's going to even be a heavyweight? So, so the tournament circuit was one thing, and then it became a question of, well, if you say you can fight, then now it becomes a question of fight where you really hard, you're doing full contact. Now, you know, my background again initially was Shorigoju karate, and then the Northern Shaolin Chung Chuan, and then the African martial arts of Kupigana and Gumi.
Yes.
So it becomes the question of, can you prove it? And so, since I never back down from a fight, and I still don't, even though I avoid them as I possibly can, it became just an extension. So when it was offered, hey, come on, let's do full contact. And so I got in the ring, and I started doing that. We also had, in 1975 was the January was a bare knuckle full contact match. So it was a bare knuckle knockout. That's what it was. If you can fight, you get in the ring. And I'm going to say this because it's true. Fighters fight. Fighters fight. And if anybody wants to talk about somebody who is famous and known but has never been in the ring, then you got to remember, fighters fight.
There you go. Well, you know, this is called Parts Unknown, so I've got a serious question for you from one of my fans that knew that I was going to interview you. And it's a real serious question. So you ready?
I'm always ready. That's what my name means.
Here we go. How long have you had the dreads?
Well, I think it goes back to 19. Not the moment you say 19, you know what that means. Wow, 20.
Yes, sir.
So I started wearing my braids back in 84, 85.
And then I transitioned
into my locks. And so somewhere around 87 is when that took place.
Well, one of my listeners, I'm sure, that answers this question. So, listen, we played 7 years ago, Bob White from Kempa, we invented a game called the Legends Name Game, where I throw a name at you, and for 2 minutes, you got to talk about them. I know you're very close to a lot of people that I know, too. So, I'm going to bring you back on, and we're going to play the Legends Name Game. So, don't go nowhere, okay, please?
Sounds good to me.
Super. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to an amazing, amazing pioneer, and he's going to correct me in a few minutes about me saying his first name, because it's always, I pronounce it Tyree, I hope it's right, Tyree Cassell.
And nope, Tyree.
By the way, how do you pronounce it? Tell everybody right now.
Tyree. It's really
Tyree. Okay, yeah. For years, he's been telling me how to pronounce his name. It's Tyree Cassell. But you'll find out more about him when we bring the legend. Thank you. But right now, I want to introduce Dr. Lee. Reggie, are you on the air? Did you get on the air?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Happy birthday,
cool.
Sir.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Lee. Now, everybody, you see Dr. Lee, you see not Dr. Lee, you see Dr. So-and-so and all these different names, PhD, but this is a real medical doctor that works in a hospital. But he trained with the late Rick Wigginton, who was under Ronald Duncan, who was very instrumental in sport karate in America in the early 60s. Now, Rick Wigginton, you know, he's gone now, but together, through the vision of this gentleman, Dr. Reginald Lee, they've created what they call SetVR.app. This is virtual reality. Oh, I'll let him explain it a little bit deeper. This is Dr. Reginald Lee. Hey, Reggie, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good evening. How you doing? So,
well,
basically,
I'm trying to introduce you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
We're
super excited about our program with SetVR. We've have moved the excitement bar upward, as you know. We've introduced the History Portal demo to be the backdrop for your future development of the Professor Garrity's vision of having a History Portal in virtual reality. We also updated our program with what's called a practice mode in Oculus Quest. Oculus Quest is the platform whereby we have the hologram with our virtual reality program, whereby we have a practice mode where you can practice the art of evasion. As you know, movement is very important in martial arts to move out of the way, to put you in a opportunist position for neutralization and to move away from attacks and moving. Specifically, moving and practicing your movements in angular, linear, and circular movements. And also in the practice mode, you'll be able to practice your striking techniques. So basically, the practice mode is basically a warm-up period before you enter the phase where you engage with the hologram. So our my partner, Richard Shanahan, my marketing director, Marie Shanahan, my developers and I are super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, as a platform where you can practice your skills in self-defense whenever, wherever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can even take it during a pandemic anywhere you travel. You can continue to practice while practicing social distancing. With the Oculus Quest or Oculus Rift headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in invasion through angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and place you into an opportunistic position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you develop muscle memory. And subsequently, my goal is to develop a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. Just as for my example, as a metaphor, as placing your hand on a hot stove, you immediately remove your hand off the hot stove. It's a reflex response. This is a platform where you can practice and utilize what you've been taught in your dojos and forms and techniques, the application of self-defense against a random attack to practice anywhere, anytime, when you want. We're planning to implement programs whereby you'll be placed in an arena of multiple attackers or place you in a scenario of a home invasion, a barroom setting, and even a war zone situation. So if you think about it as a program of a simulation program as they had with the military or the police, basically it mimics and mirrors that type of program. SetVR will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We recently have an updated our program with kicking and punching combination, and knife attacks. As you know, knife attacks up and close are very dangerous. We've implemented that program in our program. We plan to have future updates whereby you'll be having virtual matches. Say Professor Gary Lee can have a virtual match with Asia or even the Wolverine in different parts of the country or even different parts of the world where you can practice against each other in regards to self-defense and neutralization. We've implemented our program with metrics that you can record the number of successful punches, the number of blocks, and number of evasions with your right or left side dominant, and endurance will be recorded as time spent in the experience. You're able to learn the importance of creating a diversion when you grasp the attacker's arms or wrist to create a 1 to 3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercise, and we'll be introducing you with your own personal yoga instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform for his vision of the history portal. With that being said, some words, Professor Gary Lee, about your vision of the history portal.
You sound like an encyclopedia, Reggie.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you know what? I love talking to you and introducing SetVR.app to the world. But the idea that we have, or the idea of the vision, is to introduce the history generals, the guys that helped create sport karate in America. Now, what we're going to do is, through the village that you guys have created, eventually they work out into the virtual forest, which you have the tigers and the waterfalls and the monkeys and all that stuff. But they'll be confronted by the hologram, and they'll have to defeat it, and they will eventually. And then while they go out there, they'll be given questions and answers like, who is Gene LaBelle? Who is Golly Bum? AJ Perry? What is the difference of Taekwondo and Taekwondo? All these questions and answers, they'll get smarter and smarter, beat the hologram, and then a wisdom warrior will appear. And that person will say, listen, are you educated, A.J. Perry? And Perry will go, yes, I am. Well, the wisdom warrior says, I'm sorry, you have to go back. And he'll get smarter and smarter and smarter, answering all the questions. And then the hologram will appear again. This time it'll be a samurai with a katana, with a wakizashi, and a tanto, a knife, and he'll attack him. You have to defeat that samurai with Okinawa weapons. So he'll learn the difference of the kama, the sai, against the sword, Japanese weapons. He'll get smarter. And then the wisdom warrior will appear again. He'll say, okay, AJ Perry, are you educated? This time, AJ will go, yes. And the wisdom warrior will look at him and say, yes, you are. He'll take his hand, take him to a portal or take him to a gate. And there will be the portal. Now, we're going to start with a group like Mike Stone, Alex Dean, J. Pat Burleson, and some others. And then every other month or however long it takes, we're going to add a new history general. So it's going to be educational. It's going going to be fun, it's going to be a workout, and it's going to be progressive. So the setmeart.app is not only going to teach the nation about sport karate, it's going to teach the world. So we're excited about this, Reggie. So God bless you and all the developers and Marie and Rick, and thank you for the birthday wishes. It means so much. Thank you so much. So you take
care,
okay,
buddy? Thank you. You too. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Now, everybody, we've got a couple of segments that we do every month, every week, and one of them is called The Six. Now, this introduces opinions about different things that's going on in America. Now, this one's going to be different tonight, and it's called Shoplifting in America. Now, you're probably saying, what's that got to do with martial arts? Well, I've got a friend of mine that's up east, and he's got a martial arts store, and he spent his whole life savings to create this store. Well, this year, there were six people just walked in, and they just took a bunch of stuff from his employee, and it overwhelmed him. And they didn't, they just walked out, and they said, you can't do nothing to us, and that's true. For instance, in California, there's a proposition that says that you got to steal $950 worth of merchandise before they'll prosecute. It's crazy. Now, the six is six different people that I've put together that tells their opinions. And one of them is, I'm very proud of her. She's one of my dearest friends, and we go back a long time. And think about it. I could have chose any woman, but I chose her. This Karen Slasher, a PKL former champion. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Hey, I'm blessed by the best. How are you?
Well, now you understand why we're talking about this. This is crazy. Is it happening in your part of the country where people are just walking in taking stuff?
Oh, sure. Sure, because it just seems to be you do it on a dare, or you do it to see if you can get away with it, especially the young people and things, you know. It's common.
Wow. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, from a martial artist point of view, when I had schools and was part of running schools, if we got a new student who had previous training, we would call the teacher of this person and find out why they weren't there anymore. Usually it was they moved or something, or the teacher wasn't teaching anymore. And we would say,
hopefully they didn't say they were caught shoplifting. I mean, you know, I remember.
No, but wait a minute. No, wait. He would say whether or not he'd say he has good character or he has bad character. And character was what you chose whether or not to take this student on, is if the teacher, the Sifu, would say he has bad character. Then you knew that he would do things when he wasn't in the school that would bring shame to the school or cast bad light. And he, my teacher would say that character is what you do when nobody's looking. And so you have to instill or hope that you have a student that would not do that even if they had a chance. And it's all in bringing them up to have honor. And that seems to be a lost thing. And plus in Chinese medicine, they have found that people who have colon cancer have a feeling that they broke the law at some point in their life. And so the lung and large intestine are affected by little crimes or big. A thievery is thievery. So I say it can hurt your body energetically.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate your opinion. And going on with the six, I've got a very, very special guest. And I want to know if Uncle Jerry Smith got on yet. Or I guess he didn't. But anyway, this is a gentleman who trained with Jerry Smith, who's the co-founder of the Black Karate Federation. He's also the editor of the Sport Karate Museum webpage, but he's on as a special guest tonight. Tom, are you there?
I am, sir.
Well, welcome to the Six, because I know you got a little data.
Well, thank you.
Shoplifting thing. And tell people about, now you trained with Jerry Smith since you were a child, correct?
Yeah, I started with Jerry Smith in 1969.
Cool,
he had just returned from Vietnam.
Make sure you tell him when you talk to him that we missed him tonight, but I understand he's a little under the weather.
I definitely will.
Got an operation. But tell people a little about the data that you found about this shoplifting crap.
Okay, well, you know, there's first and foremost, amongst the six and all the listeners, there's probably a large amount of us that are kind of hardwired to be a sheepdog. I mean, that's just the way we are often brought up in the arts and protecting the innocent and all of that kind of stuff. So we automatically should have some opinions about this situation and all that it does, but it's such a wide-ranging thing. According to the National Association for Shoplifting Prevention, it states that there are $13 billion worth of goods that are stolen from retailers each year. That's more than $35 million per day of merchandise. Now, wow. The circumstance seems to be a kind of a revolving door kind of situation. The money situation that contributes to this, I think, is from what I've seen in the research, is that county, state, and federal levels of dealing with costs of incarceration, whether it's, you know, jails or prisons or whatever it is, and they struggle with either reducing the incarceration population and cutting their overhead, or they have to build more jails and prisons to add space. And either one of those is a money consideration. And through legislation, they can, in places, work on the idea of reducing the incarceration population by changing the laws and the responsibilities to that. The laws themselves are reducing penalties leading to incarceration, and they're using a kind of a version of catch and release where they bring people in for the misdemeanors and then have to let many of them go because of their being misdemeanors and the crimes being lesser in strength or whatever else than the more important crimes of felonies. And so they're coming in, they're going back out again if they're being incarcerated at all, because many of them, for instance, the Prop 47 in California, they specifically say that the judge can award misdemeanor for summary probation in lieu of jail time, so that the judge can just go, you know what, it's not serious enough, and we're busy, we're full anyway, so just go home and maybe pay a fine, like almost as much as maybe a ticket or something like that. So you have that. Then the businesses and the crime victims that are involved in the businesses, either as proprietors or as maybe people in the stores, the businesses are losing business and profit, merchandise and security, and the confidence in shopping of the customers who are being harassed, injured, and various other things. And then the stores are struggling with the fact that they have a more reoccurring circumstance of having detaining liability when they try and stop people who have been shoplifting from leaving. And those people then, in the process of staying there and stuff, get injured. And they turn around and they sue, and very successfully in many cases, the businesses that they were stealing from. So there's another loss of income or another loss of profit from that particular situation too.
Yes.
And and then now we have organized crime coming in with teams that are being professionally trained and organized to come in and steal, and they have shopping lists and everything else. So it's really multiplying from all different directions that's creating this atmosphere and circumstance that this, you know, crime wave of shoplifting is expanding, and it's no longer the single person sticking something in their coat. It's much bigger items, much more.
Yes.
And they leave because specifically their security people are told to not interfere and not get in the way because they're afraid of liability. So,
well, Tom, I
there you have it as far as that goes.
And your data, it means a lot. Now I got to move on to is Dr. Williams, did you get on the line, Dr. John Williams? Okay. How about David Chambers? Did you get on the line, sir? David Chambers? Okay, so we're missing Dr. Williams and come to your birthday. Okay, let's go to AJ Perry. AJ Perry?
How are you?
Good, buddy. How do you feel about shoplifting in America?
One of the standards of the civilized, one of the standards of a civilized nation is laws and enforcement of laws. And
yeah.
It's unfortunate. My daughter-in-law worked at a retailer, and there was people going in there stealing lawnmowers. The retailers were just letting them walk out the door with lawnmowers. And it's absolutely ridiculous because they do not want to enforce laws, which is a civilized standard. And it's getting to be mayhem in this country. And, you know, I don't want to get political, but most of it's happening in Democratic-run cities and Democratic-run states in California.
I don't want to do politics, buddy.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm
California,
just kidding.
you don't get any more liberal than California.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, California has gone off the deep end.
Yeah, I understand. And, you
and that's
know,
where a lot of these laws are stemming from.
Yeah. You know, different parts of the country, different things are happening. And, you know, it's like what Tom's saying. He puts data out there, things that's documented by experts. And so, you know, that's really cool.
He has some great
stuff. Not just talking about hearsay or, you know, people stealing this or that. We're talking about all around the country, people are trying to do this, and it's done by experts who are expert thieves and people who think they can, I guess, fence the material, or they just think they can get by with it, but it's gone crazy. But I've got to go on. Did David Chambers get on yet? I guess not. Okay. Did Dr. Williams get on? Okay, well, I'll miss those guys, but I got to go on with my next person who's part of the six. Dean, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, how do you feel about shoplifting? Keep it short, because we're going with another segment, but how do you feel about shoplifting in America?
Well, this shoplifting in America, this is what happens when you have a society that there's no moral compass, that there is no right or wrong. Everything is okay, and it's whatever I want to do. That's what happens in a society where, and that's what America's come to. It's a society of people that feel like they're entitled. It's like it's entitlement, where they feel like they're entitled to do that. It's their right to do that, and they have no moral compass. There is no right from wrong, because, Professor, you know, when you take God out of the equation and you have nothing to answer to, then why not go steal stuff? Why not murder people? Because there's no consequences. And that's what these people have done. They have nothing to answer for. They have no moral guidelines, where you or I would be like, oh, man, I feel bad I did that. These people don't feel bad. They almost turn into sociopaths because they just have no moral compass. And they're not sociopaths. It's just they're raised their whole life to not give a crap about anything. And that if they want something, they just take it, and nobody's supposed to do anything because it's their right to do whatever they want to do. And if they don't get to do what
is
they
it,
want to do, well, then you
down,
see what happens. They go to riot and clean stuff up.
Dean, is it happening down in Florida in some of the businesses? Or is that
Oh, no, because down here, if you own a business, like I own a business, if you walk in down here and you act like you're going to loot my business, I can shoot you.
Oh.
So
we won't
it's not
go,
this
we won't,
down
listen,
here.
Dean, we won't go into that tonight. But, you know, don't go nowhere because you're coming on in just a moment.
I'm not.
Now, I'm so sorry that Dr. Williams and David Chambers didn't get on, but that was the sixth. Opinions with an attitude. And every week we'll be talking about topics and having special guests. And I want to say thank you to Professor Thomas Spellman. And by the way, he's the editor of the Sport Quantity Museum website, and he writes articles and produces articles. And check it out. Go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, /home, H-O-M, .html, and read some of the articles that we've added to that website. And it's all because of Professor Tom Spellman. And we want to say thank you for being the special guest tonight. Now, moving right along, we have another segment which I created, and it's called 3 minutes with the Wolverine. Now, if you don't know who the Wolverine is, that's Dean Pyles. And he is a student of mine, but I adopted him. He was raised by Mr. Joe Lewis, rest in peace. But Dean is kind of, well, I got to keep him on the leash. And I let him express himself every week with 3 minutes on his opinion. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about law enforcement in major cities. Is it good or bad, Wolverine? Is it, Wolverine, is it good or bad to have law enforcement in major cities?
Listen, without law enforcement, there's chaos. And innocent people get injured and killed. Look, I know that law enforcement officers take a bad rap, and you know they may be some law enforcement officers are bad, but in the grand scheme of things, following directions goes a long way. When you're told to do something, then you just do it. And if you comply and you do what you need to do, you do it. And you know what? If the law enforcement does bad, then that's on them. But you cannot victimize a whole group of people, everybody being victimized over, you know, one bad cop. That's why we have a justice system. They need to go to jail. They need to be executed. If you believe in capital punishment, they need to pull life sentence, whatever. They do something wrong, they just need to be stiff penalties in their actions. And that's what needs to be changed is your actions. You have to be responsible for your actions, whether you're law enforcement or whether you're not. But, look, law enforcement does a lot of good when somebody needs them, when somebody's injured, when their kid's missing, a lot of stuff, law enforcement comes in handy. So you can't say, if you try to say that we'd be better off without law enforcement, you've lost your mind, because people are not just going to do whatever you ask them to do and just go along and be nice just because everybody else is being nice. And just to throw this at you, wake up, America, because, you know, Australia is under martial law right now. So that's all I'll say about that. But,
well,
yeah,
thank
you got to have it.
Gary, keep that in mind.
What
said,
topic we decided to talk about on the Wolverine. One second,
Gary, come on
the Wolverine, with 3 minutes of Wolverine. We don't hold back. He talks about what he wants to talk about. So, AJ, you have something to say?
Yeah, with all this being said, I blame the media for the backlash on the police, because it all started with Rodney King. You know, Rodney King was a terrible human being. Okay.
No, No. Heck no. What you're talking about is a culture in this society. What you're talking about is there are bad police officers, just like they are good police officers.
Listen, guys, that's another topic. That's another show.
It started with Rodney King. The media
I'm not going to let you say that it started with Rodney King. Because I'm going to go back hundreds of years. We can go back hundreds of years.
That's another topic.
You look at the media, what they've done.
Please.
The media.
Please, guys. That's another topic. That's another show.
But if somebody's going to speak something and it's not the truth, then I get to say something about it as well.
Guys,
and no,
listen.
It didn't start with Rodney King. It started with the people who enslaved
Mr.
folks
Cassell.
And then began to
That's
brutalize
the
them.
Show, sir.
That's it.
That's
the
another
media.
Topic. That's another show. AJ, that's another topic. Another show. Please,
no,
yeah,
so don't start by talking
they
about Rodney
the
King.
Police.
AJ, Mr. Cassell, that's another topic. Another show. Please.
Then he better not. Then he better speak the truth.
Okay, well, that's another show, another topic. Let's go on, please. Okay, thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you see, it gets very, very controversial, and we will talk about that another topic, another show. But going on, thank you, Wolverine. Thank you for your opinion about the law enforcement. But as you see, it gets heated, and that's cool. That's what we want to do. But that's another topic. Another show. Now, moving right along, as I said, my special guest, we talk about the legend. and this is called the name game. Now, Mr. Grissel, are you there, sir?
I'm still here, yes, sir, and giving thanks.
Okay. I know you're very, very passionate, but here we go. The Legends Name Game. Now, you're very close to a lot of cool people, and one of them is one of my dear friends and one of my history generals, Mr. Jeff Smith. Talk about it for 2 minutes, and we'll go on. Go ahead, sir.
Jeff Smith, my dear friend, world light heavyweight champion in the PKA. Jeff, in tournament sport karate, was just absolutely magnificent. He was able to command the ring. One of his greatest opponents was Howard Jackson. They put on classic fights. Rest in peace, Howard. But you're talking about Jeff Smith, who, well, there is this ongoing thing between us where he had a chance to fight for the world heavyweight title on the opening match of the Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier fight.
Yes.
He always wins the argument because 50 million people saw him fight.
It was amazing.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
And only 20 million people saw me fight Little John Davis at Madison Square Garden.
But are we comparing? Who's comparing?
Yeah. Who's counting those extra 30 million votes?
Okay, let's move on. Linda Dinley.
Oh, my God. Now you're talking about the greatest woman sport tournament fighter in the history of sport tournaments here in America. Linda was undefeated for, I think, like 14 years in a row. She could – this is a woman of pure class and beauty. Who will break?
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, and I'm so proud of her. She used to come to my fight club in the early 80s. She'd be the only woman that would show up. And it would be Ernie Radar Smith, Israel Robles, Al Garza, all the great fighters, Jimmy Tavares. And she also would fight all the people that would just come in off the street. And they would think that fighting a woman was uncalled for. But when they saw her fight, yeah, I mean, it was amazing. And I'm so proud. Let's move on. How about the great Cindy? I mean, Cynthia Rothrock. We call her Cindy, but Cynthia Rothrock.
Oh, my goodness. Cynthia is, again, another of my dear friends. We were in Las Vegas together this past weekend for different events. Cynthia, who is this amazing martial artist who turned into this great actress. And her movies, her skill continue to just amaze. But she's doing so many different things now. She has over 100 scuba dives. So she's swimming with sharks. She's down below in the water. She's ziplined. And she continues to just be inspiring because, hey, it's Cynthia Rothrock.
Absolutely. Now, a few years back, you came to the Sport Karate Museum event in Hollywood, California, and you got to hang out with a lot of your good friends. Now, I want to ask, because you're a history general, how do you feel about Sport Karate Museum and honoring all the pioneers, sir?
You know, it is important, as I have talked about many times, and I'm sure that Auntie Jesse Bourne will chime in when I have said before, you honor your ancestors, you honor your elders, you honor your teachers. And what's important about any karate museum, any martial arts museum, is the preservation of history, of telling the story that people years from now, generations from now, will know. They need to know about Steve Muhammad, Jimmy Jones, Ron Van Cleef, Ronald Duncan, George Colfer.
I got to butt in, sir. 4 months ago in Houston, honored Al Garza, Chuck Norris, and Gina. But Steve Muhammad came. Now, he's 81 years old, one of the greatest fighters we ever had. He was better known as Steve Sanders, but changed his name. But Steve came to my event, 81 years old. I was so excited, and, you know, we honored him, and it was so cool. So I want to say thank you for being on the show tonight and sharing your history and listening. I mean, we'll talk about that something that – hey, AJ, where you at? AJ, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Why are you always starting trouble with my guests?
That's my job.
We'll talk about that topic, maybe another topic, and you guys
are here to stir the
pot. You know, I'm just kidding because, you know, I love you guys.
Hello.
I love everybody, and I want to say thank you to everyone for, you know, allowing us to come to your home every Tuesday night. Now, this October, we've got a really incredible event, guys. We're going to be doing the Power of Women. Now, we're going to be honoring all the girls. Now, 5 years ago, we had 100 black belt women come to Houston. And I promised them, every one of them, that every 5 years, we would honor the ladies. Now, that means the aunts, the grandmothers, the mothers, the black belts, and the women who never became black belt, maybe, that were beside the great pioneers, the men that we talk about every week on this show. We're going to honor them. It's called the Hot Pink Event in Houston, Texas at the West Chase Marriott, October 1st and 2nd. Now, we're also going to be honoring the co-founder of the BKF. That's right, Mr. Jerry Smith. And we're going to be bringing some people to talk about what he's done on Friday night. We're going to do the debut of the History Journal book and the magazine. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. Darlene McPherson is making 9-3 black belt. That's all Friday night. And Saturday night, we got a dinner and a show. And we're honoring two of the amazing women in Houston martial arts around the world. World champion Chris Manchu and international champion Jenny Pless. So we got a great weekend planned for you. And if you want more information, just give us a call at the museum, 713-483-0476. Now, I want to close out by asking Mr. Cassell, how would people get in touch with you, sir, if they wanted a seminar or information on what you do? How would people get in touch with you?
Well, thank you for asking, and it's really easy. You know, Facebook right now is the easiest method of contact, so also Tayari Cassell on Facebook. YouTube, you can see my history and events. And you can always call me. And easy to find. I'm easy to find no matter what. Let's look at right now the best that we have to offer as martial artists. Martial artists can change the world because of our history, because of the discipline, the principles of courtesy and respect. Let's move forward like that, because that's how we will make sure that the world is better, by demonstrating what our teachers taught us about humanity and courtesy. It doesn't cost anything to be courteous and respectful.
Well, I want to say I love your passion, and I love A.J. Perry. And that's, you know, like I can see the fire, not negative, but the fire of passion. And we'll talk about maybe that topic at a later show, and I'll let you just express yourself. And A.J. Perry, I love you. Do you understand?
I got you. I love you, Gary.
Okay, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you to my special guest, Tayari Cassell, the great Pioneers champion, and all the guests on the set, and, of course, Dean Piles with 3 Minutes of the Wolverine, Dr. Lee with SetVR.app, and of course our producer, Hachi Jesse Bowen. And every week, we always say mahalo to everybody and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Gary. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for your time.